I request you to turn your Bibles back to the book of Acts. And we come now to the ninth chapter, a very well-known chapter, where you see the well-documented account of Paul's conversion, or Saul's conversion, before he changed his name to Paul, the apostle. And then, of course, you see also in the later part, from verses 32 to the end, the ministry of the apostles Peter. But our meditation this morning, very quickly, because time is running out and I have quite a bit to cover. Our meditation this morning, we shall consider Paul's conversion, and the text, the main text is verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Our subject is scales upon the eyes. The text says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. This means that that film, or that veil upon Saul's eyes, was like fish scales, that it fell off from his eyes. When that blinding film was gone, light broke into the darkness of Saul. Sin manifests its great power in different men and women, in different parts of man's nature. And in the case of many, sin is most apparent in their eyes. And that is to say, their eyes of ignorance, of error, prejudice, all these have injured their mental sight. Some have hardened their conscience, others have the deaf ear of mental insensitivity. But there are far more those who hear the sound of the gospel and display much energy on the outside, but they hear without understanding and are zealous even without knowledge, for they are blind. This was Saul's condition, and this sadly is still the condition of many men and women, boys and girls in the world. Saul was very honest, we might say, of his heart when it was at its worst, that it was always true to his conviction. That's him. He was no deceiver, no time saver, server. He went in for what he believed to be right in his own eyes with all his might. No lukewarmness, no selfish policy of this kind. He was convicted of his own understanding. So his fault lay in his eyes. And so when the eyes were set right, Saul was right. When he perceived that Jesus was, after all, the Messiah, the man, Paul, became just as earnest a follower of Christ before he had been a persecutor. And that is why the Lord Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, the word single there in the Greek means sound or functioning properly or perfect, then thy body shall be full of light. And verse 23 following, but if thy eye be evil, meaning unsound or useless, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Let us proceed now to look further into this very deadly condition in man. Scales upon our eyes, in both young and old, boys and girls, men and women throughout this sinful world. Firstly, we note, we shall speak of scales which men fail to perceive because they are inside. Secondly, we shall show what makes these scales come to the outside so that men do perceive them. And thirdly, what means or what ways or instruments the Lord uses to take these scales outside away, to put it away. And fourthly, what did Saul see when the scales were gone? So this morning is a 4-point sermon. I will try to go through it as briefly as I can within the time. First, the scales which man do perceive or discern. Saul has scales on his eyes when he was on the road to Damascus, but if you look at his face, or if you talk to him, you would see that he would appear to be just as you are, normal on the outside. He was a very sharp-sighted philosopher, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. He did not think himself to be blind. And if you say that he is blind with scales, he might be looking at you and wondering, what are you talking about? And yet the Bible says he was blind, for his eyes were shut up with scales inside. The worst sort of scales that can possibly muddle our sight. First, the scale of self. In the first place, Saul had this in him. The scale of self to darken his eye. He had great idea of himself, very confident of himself. He said to himself, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Furthermore, he declared himself to have done countless good works. And he fasted and he prayed, and last but not least, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He was far too great in his own estimation to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. How could this Jewish rabbi who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the great teacher or master of the law, become a disciple or a follower of the despised Jesus, who was hated by many? How can it be? Well, this is following Jesus is for the simple-minded and the poor folks. They might follow this man of Nazareth, but for me, Saul, a learned man, a lawyer, an educated man, both in the knowledge of Hebrew literature and of Greek philosophy, it was not likely that he would mingle with fishermen and peasants in following Jesus. Not for him. And this is the reason why many great people like Saul cannot see the beauty of the Lord Jesus and cannot come to him that they might have life. Namely, because of their self-esteem. Like thick scales have blinded their sight, so great in their own esteem. It is only when a man becomes nothing, brought low, nothing in his own estimation, then Jesus Christ becomes everything to this person. But not till then. Self is an effective darkness that blocks the light into the windows of the soul of sinner. Secondly, you see here scale of ignorance. This is another scale in Saul's eyes. Ignorance. And by the way, this I meant learned ignorance, which is by far the worst kind of ignorance. You see, Saul knew everything. but what he ought to have known. He was instructed in all sorts of learning, but he did not know Jesus. He had never studied the Lord's claim and character. He had picked up the popular rumors, the hearsay, and despised the excellent truth of Jesus' teaching. If he had known Jesus of Nazareth really was the Christ, he would never have dragged men and women into the prison. But the scale of ignorance was over his eyes. And how many there are in this land and in this nation and all over the world in what we call this enlightened modern era, who know a great deal about 1,000 things, scientific knowledge and all that, but nothing about the one thing most needful. The thing that they most need to know, they know not. They have never troubled to consider who Christ is and why he came into this sin-cursed world. And so, for lack of knowledge, they grope as the blind. And then thirdly, you see here, Paul has in his eyes the scale of prejudice. With ignorance generally comes another scale, prejudice. The man who knows nothing about truth is usually the man who despises it most. He does not know and does not want to know. And this is very common among many in this world, in our society. Don't tell me, he or she says. Don't tell me. I'm not interested. I don't want to know your Jesus. Who is this? Don't waste my time. I have better things to do. He has nothing but a sneer for you when you have told him the truth to the best of your ability and from your heart. The man has no honesty. He has made up his mind. She has made up her mind. I don't want to hear. He is so wise. He is wiser than any man that can provide him a reason. Oh, prejudice. This is the scale. How many has been prevented by prejudice from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Men and women who might have been wise have remained fools because they thought they were wise. They were smart. Many judge what the gospel ought to be, but do not actually inquire as to what it is. They do not come to the Bible to obtain their views of true Christianity. And if they do open that Bible, they are doing it to find a text to suit their own opinion, to interpret it in the way that they like it. They are not open to honest force of the truth, and therefore they are not saved by the truth of the gospel. Oh, how many need to have this scale of prejudice to fall from their eyes. And fourthly, you have the scale of unbelief, which Paul has. His heart was darkened by the scale of unbelief. Saul had seen Stephen die. And in fact, he was responsible for it, as we know from the passage. And so if he had seen Stephen's face shining like an angel, if he has taken note of the calmness, the stillness in the heart of Stephen, when all these stones are flying towards him that hit him, and yet he is calm, at rest. If Saul had seen that, if he had noticed the wondrous peace on Stephen's facial expression when he fell asleep in the middle of the stones thrown at him, but he did not. Saul could not see that, and so he did not believe. Perhaps he had heard about the Savior more than he cared to remember, but he did not believe. He considered the gospel of Christ to be foolishness, and that's the case for many, and therefore he cast it under his feet. Oh, brethren, how many lives have been ruined by this cruel unbelief towards Christ? Who can see if he or she refuses the light? Who shall find salvation if he or she will not trust the Savior for it? Unbelief is as sure to destroy those who are guilty of it as faith is sure to save believers. And then fifthly, we have the scale of habit. What do I mean by that? You see, the scale of habit means this scale had formed over Saul's inner eyes for a long, long time. For he had been having this for a long time, having all these different scales on his eyes. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Asked the prophet Jeremiah. Can it be? If so, then he that is accustomed to do evil may learn to do well. They say that use is second nature, and when the first nature is bad, the second nature is like the first. Only it goes further in wrong. Dear friends, some of you have been so accustomed to refuse, reject the gospel. I do not want to hear. Or if I'm hearing, it is 1 year in and 1 year out. My mind, my heart is somewhere else. If you are so accustomed to that, and to follow after the pleasures and vices of the world, that it does not seem possible that you should follow after Christ. You see, habits of secret sin are peculiarly blinding to the soul. Therefore, may the Lord have mercy. May this scale on our eyes, your eyes and mine, be speedily made to fall off. And then sixthly, we have the scale of worldliness. This is another scale in Saul's eyes, upon his inner eye. Why? For he loved the praise of man. You see, he is the Pharisee. He is a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had his reputation to maintain, just like many others in this world, who has a reputation to maintain and was reckoned to be most hopeful and the rising star of Israel. This is Saul. It was not likely that Saul would believe the Lord Jesus, for then he would have to lose. To believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ means all his titles and all his achievements will have to go. The self-esteem of his fellow countrymen will be gone. The fear of man and the love of man's applause, how they prevented so many men and women, young and old, from seeing the truth about Jesus and recognizing him as the only begotten Savior or the Son of God. How can you believe, my friends, which receive honor one of another? How can men bow themselves before Christ the Lord when all the while they are commanding the respect of fellow sinners? The love of adulation, or we call it hero worship, which is a form of worldliness, blinds the eyes, and so will many other love of the things of this world. The love of the things of this world will blind the eyes of sinners. If our hearts be set upon this blinding world, then there will be little or no sight for things divine, for things of eternal value. You can be assured of that. Moving on, secondly, the second heading, the scale brought to the outside. The scale that was inside Saul's eyes when he was on the way to Damascus are now come to the outside, brought to the outside. Those outside scales reveal or expose in type and figure what had always been inside Saul, hidden in the deep recesses of his heart. Only now they were brought outside so that he knew they were there. And others now could discern that they were there. And so, praise the Lord, when the scales were brought outside, there is hope. There is hope that these scales would be removed from the eye. And now Saul was conscious of them. The evil was half cured. What brought those scales to the outside, we ask, and make Paul know that he was blind? What causes it? Well, firstly, the exceeding glory of Christ. You look at verse 3. Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. You see, those Christians who walk closest to their Savior Jesus are frequently, and you see this in Scripture, in the lives of the prophets and the disciples of Christ, when they walk closest to the Lord Jesus, they are frequently overcome with what? That exceeding brightness of Christ's glory. And when they saw that brightness, what happened? They fall straight, prostrate down to the ground to worship Christ the Lord. And so it is with Saul and with the sinners when he gets his first view of this glorious Christ. The inrush of Christ's glory makes the sinner mourn his inner blindness. He or she realizes that he or she has no spiritual discernment and knows that he has known nothing. When the glory of Christ appears. And then after that, we have also here, Saul was faced with this. What removed the scale from his eyes, not only the exceeding glory of Christ, but the unanswerable question. That question that was put to him by the Lord Jesus, why persecutest thou me? He has no answer for that. We see it here in this passage. That brought home to him, that question from Jesus brought home to him a sense of his sin. Why? That word why is so important, so effective in removing the scale from Saul's eyes. And that was a why for which Saul of Tarsus could not find an answer. When he discovered that the man of Nazareth was the glorious Christ of God, and then indeed he was confounded. He could not make a reply to the demand, why persecutest thou me? If God would pose such a why to you, my friends, in your heart, how would you answer? How would you answer if you are able to answer in the first place? Why should you live in sin? Why are you choosing the wages of unrighteousness? Why are you not believing and following the Lord Jesus? Why are you hardening your heart against the gospel? Why are you ridiculing the Christians and despise them? Why do you sneer at the servants of Christ, of God? If the Holy Spirit drives home that why to your heart, you will begin to see what a blind fool I am to go kicking against the bricks, fighting against the one who sacrificially gave his life for you on the cross, on that tree. The why from the lips of Christ will show you your blindness. The second way, the scales that brought about a great perplexity. That's what happened when the scale of Saul's eyes came outside, it brought him great perplexity to his soul. He was troubled. We read of him that when his eyes was opened, he saw no man, but trembling and astonished, and he asked the Lord, what must he do? Some of us may know what that experience means. Some of us perhaps we have been brought under the hand of God till we have been utterly astonished, amazed, touched, moved by the love of Christ. And then we are also astonished at our sin. We realize how sinful we are, how much we have rejected Christ. May the Lord heal us with this trembling and this astonishment. And if He does, then you and I will perceive the blindness of our soul, the hardness of our heart, and then we will plead for that light. It is a good thing sometimes when the Lord keeps a man in prayer, pleading for mercy, pleading and pleading and pleading on and on until he perceives how great his need of that mercy is. So therefore, sometimes it is good that the Lord delay his prayer, or rather his answer to your prayers, because he wanted you to see of his mercy more and more. And as you plead and plead, you realize how much you need his mercy. It is when you have been bitterly felt the darkness of your heart, then you will exceedingly be bold in bearing that light to your fellow men. May God bring to us that astonishing prayer. May God bring to us the agonizing prayer. Then we will learn our darkness thoroughly, and the scales upon our eyes will be painfully evident to ourselves. Quickly, the third heading for our sermon, the means that the Lord used to remove the scales away. Now, thirdly, we consider this. What instrument or what ways or what means or how did God use to remove and get rid of the eyes, or rather the scales from Saul's eyes? It was not by an angel. It is not by some healing ministry. Neither is it by music. Neither is it by some stirring of the emotion. It was simply a plain man, a man called Ananias, that the Lord used. He was the one appointed the means of bringing sight to blind Saul. We do not know much about this faithful servant of Christ. Nothing was mentioned about him in detail, but we know his name, and that is enough. His name is Ananias, that God used. And Ananias was the only person whom the Lord used in taking off the scales from the Apostle Paul's eyes. Dear brethren, there are some of you here, if you are sensitive to the Spirit's prompting, whom God will use in similar manner as the means of taking the scales from the eyes of someone who is living in darkness and misery. Are you willing to be that instrument, to be that Ananias, to be used of God to remove the scales from someone's eyes who is living in darkness and sin and misery? You see, Ananias was a ready man. Notice here that he was already. When the Lord spoke to him, he said what? Behold, I am here, Lord. My brethren, be like Ananias. He was a ready man. Be a ready man for Christ, a ready woman for Christ, for the Master's use. Ananias was an understanding man, because when the Lord said to him concerning Saul, when God told him that Saul was what? Behold, he prays. And Ananias knew and understood what the Lord meant when the Lord said, Saul was praying. He well understood that the first work of grace in the heart of a sinner, and you can say that that is the first sign of a sinner repentance, is what? Is when he or she prays. That is a good sign. A good sign. Beloved, you must have that personal experience of the things of God yourself, or else you cannot help newborn believers. If you do not yourself know who Jesus is, or what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be to pass from death to life, and do not know the true marks of regeneration by the Holy Spirit, if you yourself have not experienced that regeneration of the Holy Spirit, you have not, or rather, you are a useless instrument. You will not be effective to be an instrument like Ananias to remove the scales from someone's eyes. And then you see here that Ananias is a discerning man. Why do we say that? He made an inquiry. He asked the Lord, or he says to the Lord, Lord, I have known by many of this man. He knew Saul, but he wanted to know a little bit more. So he inquired of Jesus, his master, as to Saul's character, and whether it was a genuine work of grace in his heart. You see, Ananias is a very discerning man. He wants to make sure, so to speak. Brethren, let us use all our diligence to know the will of God before you take action. Seek the Lord. Just ask of the Lord, just like Ananias did, before you make your decision. And then thirdly, you see that Ananias was an obedient man. When once he made his inquiry and he got the answer from the Lord, what the Lord told him, what happened? He obeyed. Ananias was an obedient man. He was told to go to the house. Which house? Verse 11, the house of Judas. And inquire for one called Saul. And so Ananias had divine authority. The Lord had given him a search warrant, so to speak. And so he entered the house. But more importantly, we must learn, Ananias obeyed the Lord and went to commission Saul in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will notice what a sincere, personal dealing man Ananias is. For he did not stand at a distance when he speak to Saul. But putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul! And this is something we can learn from Ananias. When you and I talk to someone or talk to others about Jesus Christ who are seeking the Lord, let us not stand at a distance. Let us not look at the that person with a holier-than-thou look. Go and speak to the person personally. Go and speak to him or her with a true, loving, brotherly accent, as Ananias did, for he was a brotherly man. He speaks with love from his heart. And then fourthly, we see that Ananias was a man whose subject was Christ. That was all in his life, his thought, his heart was Christ. A man whose subject was Christ. When he met Paul, the first thing he says to him, how's the weather? Nice to see you. No, he said, the Lord, even Jesus. Dear brethren, whenever you and I have the opportunity, or whenever you meet with fellow believers and Christians, have something to say about your Savior, the Lord Jesus. And say it personally, say it directly, say it with intent, intensely the word for that person. May the Lord grant to us, many of us, to be instruments to take the scales from man's eyes. Finally, I make it within the time, almost. The first person, or rather the effect, when the scales were removed. This is my fourth heading. What happened to Saul when finally all that scales from his eyes, from the inside brought to the outside, and from the outside it was removed? The first person he saw was brother Ananias. It was a blessed sight for Saul to see Ananias, his Christian countenance, with love and joy towards him. What a blessing, isn't it? What a blessing it is to meet with a Christian coming to you, and when you first look at him or her, he beams, or he or she beams with this joy, this gladness, this blessedness. When Saul opened his eyes, it must have done him so much good to just see such a face. A plain, simple Christian believer, full of holy zeal and intense anxiety or care for him. Is it not a blessing? Should you meet such a person, such a Christian, such a brother and sister in Christ that comes to you with such simple, holy zeal and intense anxiety and care for your soul? What a blessed Christian experience. And what a blessing it is to show that, to be that instrument to the other person, to the other Christian who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. The next thing that Paul would see would be his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the highlight of Saul's life. When the scales upon his eyes were removed, Ananias said to him, "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight." And now Saul would see what an opener of the eyes Jesus is. Jesus is the opener of the eyes, the remover of the scales from our eyes. What a mighty Savior for sinners. And yes, this is a blessed sight, to see the Lord Jesus as my Savior opening my eyes, so that I can say, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. This is a heavenly sight for those who repent and turn to the Lord Jesus. May you, the believers, help many to see Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Finally, dear friends, as I close, when you have come to see Christ as your Savior, then the blessed Holy Spirit will be dear to thee, and you will rejoice. Rejoice to think that the Holy Spirit dwell in you. For what? Dwell in you, doing nothing? No. The Holy Spirit dwelling in the heart of a believer to sanctify you, to enlighten you, to strengthen you, to direct you, to help you in making your decisions in life, to make you a vessel of mercy for the blessing of others. Oh, my friends, this will be your portion. This will be for you if you do see Christ as your Savior. Your life will take on a new meaning and a new purpose. I trust that this message has spoken to your heart, and I beseech you, I plead with you, friends, think upon the Lord Jesus Christ. While you have the breath and the life as God given you, while you have the opportunity, while God show mercy and grace to you and give you the time to know Him as His Savior, I plead with you, see what a Savior the Lord Jesus is and how suitable it is for you. I would entreat you, my dear friends, not to delay any longer, but to close in with the gracious invitation of His mercy while it is extended to you. I call upon you. In fact, I command you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth to bow before Him, bow before His scepter, for He is the King of Kings, the Creator of heaven and earth. Oh friends, come to Him, own His dominion, and let Him be your Savior, for His gospel comes with divine authority as well as with gentle persuasion. However, if you continue in your unbelief, if you do reject Him, if you will not trust Him and trust His cross, His finished cross work for you, then I'm afraid soon you must tremble. You must tremble before Him at His judgment seat. Oh friends, do not delay. Do not continue in your unbelief. Simply come. Come to Him. Simply trust is the only way to come to Him. Believe in Him, and He is your Redeemer, and His salvation is yours.